This morning's reading is taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. The coming Messiah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until time that she who is in labour has given birth. Then the remnants of the brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace.
Alan, thank you for reading that passage. I just, I'm going to share a few thoughts, I guess, musings, meditations over this Christmas period. I've been drawn again and again to this wonderful short passage in Micah chapter 5. Just to say at this point, you are aware we did start slightly later, didn't we? So please don't get jumpy if we pass the 11:30 point. We'll, as long as we finish by 22, we are within our time constraints. Della urged us to be wise users of the time that we've been given, so here we are. So Micah chapter 5, that short passage that Alan read, is such a wonderful prophecy. But it's actually, if you think about the Old Testament, written over around a 1,000-year time period, it's actually one of several hundred specific references to the coming Messiah. This is foretelling hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came, as we've just celebrated over the Christmas period. This is prophecy in power, with absolute accuracy. And all of these references, these hundreds of references in the Old Testament that, as I say, span writings over a 1,000-year time period, all of these are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. That's some point to make right there, just as we pause. The fulfillment of prophecy, Old Testament prophecy, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, human beings can tend to be, I don't know if you've discovered this, we can tend to be a little bit argumentative, a little bit skeptical. I'm not talking about you specifically, I'm talking about humanity in general. And as you would imagine, objections are raised even when these great points are made. And some folks have suggested that actually the fulfilled prophecy in Jesus was deliberate. You could say on reflection, well, it might sound just about plausible until you consider that many of these same prophecies concerning Jesus Christ were in fact, and this is entirely rational and reasonable if you stop and think about it, many of these prophecies were totally beyond the human, in quote, control of Jesus. So those who have objections, it can get quashed right away. I'm going to zip through and then we're going to look at Micah 5 specifically. So, for example, the place of birth of the Christ. Now, I hope you agree with me, that would be very difficult for the prenatal Christ to coordinate. That is beyond his control, isn't it? Your place of birth is beyond your control. That's in Micah 5. The place of birth is explicit and it is fulfilled absolutely spot on hundreds of years later. What about the time of the birth of Christ? That's prophesied in Daniel 9 and Genesis 49, the time of his birth. Glory to God. And that was filled bang on in Christ. Even the manner of his birth is prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, we can stop there and say a virgin birth in and of itself, on its own, stands alone as a sovereign miracle. The fact that that was prophesied hundreds of years earlier, and what do you know, it was fulfilled. Glory to his name. We're building a strong case here. So we've got the place of birth, the time of birth, the manner of birth, all prophesied, foretold long before and outside, beyond the human control of Jesus, and yet fulfilled perfectly in the coming of Christ in his first advent. And now, very briefly, we can move to his betrayal. We were reminded by Brian that we cannot separate the cradle from the cross. And I'd like to think, too, we cannot separate the cradle from the cross and his second coming. So as we just ponder these things, remember that if all the fulfillment of prophecy from of old was fulfilled perfectly in Christ regarding his first coming, his living and his dying, then that's a pretty strong case for the future fulfillment of that which is yet to come regarding his second coming. And we live in this time period, this day of grace between his first coming and the awaiting eagerly of his second coming. That's where we live. We live in Christ, but in terms of time and history, that's where we are on the timeline. He's coming again. Glory to his name. And so the prophets prophesied in Psalm 41, in Zechariah 11, we get detail, specific detail of his betrayal. We're also told in Psalm 22, a remarkable psalm about the Messiah by David the psalmist. We get specific detail about the manner of his death, and that particular manner of death had not yet been invented. Prophecy, absolutely bang on, all about the Christ, all fulfilled in Christ. We even have, if you're into detail, we even have prophecy regarding people's reactions, specifically in and around his suffering and dying. We have the spitting in Isaiah 50. We have the staring in Psalm 22. We have the mocking again in Psalm 22. We have the piercing of his side on the cross in Zechariah 12. And we even have detail in Isaiah 53, which in itself is an amazing prophetic chapter, isn't it? We have detail of his burial. All fulfilled perfectly to the letter in Christ. Glory to his name. These thoughts you might think, well, what are you talking about this for, Dave? I'm talking deliberately to lift us out of the feeling that we're somehow random victims of circumstance in the context of this pandemic, and to speak to you deliberately to say, if you're his, you are safe and secure, held firmly in his grip. Today, as we move on together into this new year, 2021, you are not being tossed about by random events, but you, my friend, are hid with the Christ in God. And your future is secure. This isn't some wavering hope we're singing about. This is an anchor to our soul. Amen. Glory to the Christ. Glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who came once fulfilling every detail of prophecy and is coming again and will, even though we might not fully understand the future. I'm holding my hand up. I find eschatological interpretation a bit tricky at times, I'll be honest with you. Even if we hold our hands up and say we're not entirely sure exactly how it's all going to pan out, one thing I know, the Christ is coming back for me and for his people. Oh, hallelujah. And he shall reign forever and ever. This is the history that is being outworked. This is the story that's being written. Oh, praise his wonderful name. even the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 2. Do you remember in Matthew 2? We often read this at this time of year. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Oh, yes, there we go. Fulfillment of the prophecy in Micah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem where people would have expected, but in little town of Bethlehem. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I love that. Can I ask you at the start of this new year, have you come this morning to worship him? Oh, what greater privilege, what greater purpose than to be caught up in the worship of this one. This one who's ruler of Israel and all his people. This one, Micah prophesies, this one shall be peace, the Prince of Peace. Oh, glory to his name, even as we meditate on his words again this morning. Worship him. Worship him from your heart. Even now, I urge you. It's our great passion and purpose and privilege to be worshippers of the Father, the Son, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, and when he, that's Herod, heard this, he was troubled, understandably. We were reminded by Brian recently about this, and all Jerusalem with him. Power struggle going on right there. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And it's fascinating, isn't it, that the scribes and the chief priests said to him, without any hesitation, that's in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, quoting Micah, they were in no doubt. Amazing, isn't it? In the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Even the scribes and the Pharisees were acknowledging the prophecy of Micah regarding the birth place of the Christ. How wonderful. We haven't got time to go in too much to the context, but it's just interesting to note that Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries. I hope you love Isaiah. Sometimes Micah is described as an Isaiah in miniature. But one thing is sure as we read through both of these prophets, one a major, not because of significance, but because of length of contribution, Micah a minor, short version, but highly significant. We look at these two, both addressing at the time in their current context, the same people, the same problems, but they had slightly different focus. Micah's was more apparently on moral and social problems. Isaiah was placing greater stress on world affairs and political concerns. Now, just pause there. I was so struck as I was thinking of this a couple of weeks ago. How wonderful. You've got two prophets of the Lord. Same people, same problems, different approach, different gifting, different focus. And you know what? Sometimes we get tripped up, and I just want to mention this again as we head out into the start of 2021. You, my friend, individually, uniquely, and specifically have been called by the King of Kings by name with specific purpose. We must take care not to try and imitate another's gifting. There's a temptation there. And you can think, Micah could have been thinking, oh, Isaiah, wow, he's got some serious input. He's looking on the global scale, world affairs. Maybe I should try a bit more of that. Maybe I should adjust. Maybe I should do this or that or the other. But actually, he stayed true to what he was called by the Lord to do, and he had his focus. But both, get this, whatever your focus, whatever your gifting, both, just to use the illustration of Isaiah and Micah, revealed way ahead of time the Christ. So whatever your gifting, whatever your calling, whether you think it's great or small, major or minor, in and through it all, in the wonderful diversity of the body of Christ set together according to his choosing, there is to be a manifestation of the Christ. Glory to his wonderful name. That is the key. That is the focus. So Micah's message, if we read it all, I'd encourage you to read it all, embraces the Lord's full character. It's amazing. At times we're sort of kind of plunged into the sobering depths of God's judgments. And we tremble. And we fear the Holy One. And other times we're elevated to the heights, to the sublime heights of his grace and mercy, the hope that shines through even in the deepest place of judgment. And there's patterns, there's rhythms as you read through the book. He warns, he threatens, he rebukes, he prophesies of the Christ. His message is relevant right there for the time. And it has future fulfillment in the kind of shorter term. And it has long term, fuller fulfillment in what's to come much later and beyond even where we sit today. Don't you just love biblical prophecy? Glory. Glory to the one who sends forth his word. God has at various times, in various ways, spoken. You remember that at the beginning of Hebrews? Through his prophets, and we thank him for doing that. But in these last days, that's where we sit, friends. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, the one, the only, this one with a big capital O. Glory to his name. Oh, praise his wonderful name. God will execute true justice on the earth. Did you know that? But he will also pour out with shocking, scandalous generosity his mercy on any who would truly respond to him and give their lives to him. Outside of Christ, we sit under the judgment of God. In Christ, we're translated from that place of death and separation into life flooded with mercy and grace and forgiveness that flows unceasingly, incessantly, like mighty rivers. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Our passage, and in the last few minutes, you'll see I haven't got very far with our passage, but you know what? Just enjoy it. Wonderful. You can read this after it doesn't finish when we finish in a few minutes. This passage is wonderful. As I've alluded to, sometimes it's quite challenging to interpret eschatology entirely accurately because, and here's the thing, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know about you, but I'm not great at figuring out exactly how it's all going to work out. I think this, you may think I'm wrong here, but I think even the prophets who prophesied, the point was they prophesied the word of God before it happened. But I imagine they may have been quite surprised if they were still around to see how it exactly worked out. I imagine Micah might have been stunned if he had been able to witness the glory of heaven, this Christ who was coming, laid in a feeding trough. This one, the bread of heaven, Bethlehem, the house of bread, the bread of heaven, the glory of heaven itself, laid in a feeding trough. I just hazard a guess, Micah would have been surprised, even though he prophesied the place of his birth. So let's just hold this as we go forward together. Bible prophecy isn't about entertainment for the curious. You know, when sometimes we can get led off track with curiosity. Oh, what about this? What about that? What about the other? It's actually encouragement for the serious. That was Warren Wiersbe who said that. I found it really helpful. Actually, prophecy is to awaken the people of God to their responsibilities in the present as we live in the light of what's coming. Do you see that? We're not to be wistfully pie in the sky, thinking all about the future. But in the light of the future, in the light of the fact of Christ's return, we are to live responsibly in the present. And in that way, we'll be ready, my friends, with Christ, his life living in us, his heartbeat beating strong, the hope of glory in our hearts. Oh, how wonderful. I don't know if you've ever thought about the little town of Bethlehem. Micah may have thought he was a little prophet, who knows? But it's a wonderful theme you can take away, that the Lord delights to take the small and invest within it the great. He delights to take the little things. He delights, as we hear in Corinthians, to take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The whole point is that no flesh should glory in his presence. The whole focus is the glory of the one, this one, the Prince of Peace. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Just a few other comments. How are we doing, Dave? Just give us a nod. Are we okay? Few minutes and we'll nearly be done. I'm pushing it, as usual, to the wire. Bethlehem, House of Bread. I mentioned this the other week. I hadn't realized it before, but in Micah it says Ephrathah. Not quite got my tongue around that one. But anyway, it means a place of fruitfulness. So at the same time, you've got this image of Bethlehem as the house of bread to house the living bread himself, but also a place of fruitfulness. Another surprising meaning of that word Epaphratha is an ash heap. So combine those two thoughts, fruitfulness and ash heap, and you've got something wonderful. Right there in the prophecy of his birth, you have foretold, or at least intimated, the cross. Psalm 113, the Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? And by the way, Micah's name means that. Who is like Yahweh? Who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the things that are in earth? And listen to this, my friends, if you're feeling low, he, this one, the glory of heaven, he raises the poor out of the dust and he lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes. Glory to his wonderful name. How does he do that? Not from a distance, my friends, but he comes. As we've been reminding ourselves over this period, oh, how wonderful. I never tire of pondering the mystery and the wonder of the incarnation. I'm staggered. I'm 48, so I can't still con myself. I'm still young. I've spent a fair bit of time thinking about the fact that Christ came. I never tire of it. It's perennially fresh in my mind as I ponder the mystery that the King of Glory should descend to the ash heap of humanity. There's hope because this is who the King is. There's hope for absolutely everyone, every nation, every individual in every nation. And I'm saying this in the context of the global pandemic. There is hope for every soul, every man, woman, and child. Because of this and this alone, Christ. Christ Jesus, the King, the hope, the one who was born in Bethlehem. And I'm going to finish just with this thought. There's so much more, you've probably guessed. I'm bursting at the seams here. But let's finish on this note. Out of you, says the prophet, shall come forth. And then whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Just that wonderful phrase, going forth, coming forth. I just want to say that in time and history, Christ came forth from the virgin's womb, but he is still on the move. He is still coming forth and going forth in and through his people. So as we head into 2021, let's get in afresh, if we feel like we've stagnated, into the great movings of the Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and go forth. We might not be able to go very far, depending on what the latest restrictions are, but be that as it may, Christ is unhindered and he is going forth through you and me in prayer, in worship, in reaching out, in mission. What a wonderful way to enter this new year, 2021, knowing that we're in Christ and knowing that his goings forth are from of old. They are everlasting. Oh, praise his wonderful name. This one, Micah ends that passage with, shall be peace, the Prince of Peace. Glory to his wonderful name. He's peace in the hearts of his believers, but he is going to bring peace on earth on a global scale when he comes again. Hallelujah. Have you got that hope of glory in your heart today, my friend? The Lord richly bless you. As we go on together, hand in hand, arm in arm, strong in the power of his might, weak in ourselves, but strong in the power of his might. Glory to his wonderful name.